Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome tonight to the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
Well, all right then. Welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us. I guess we're doing a cold open again. So no music to titillate your ears. No introduction except for that small window. But thank you for joining us. Welcome to the program. It's been a busy news day. And a lot of people are making hay over it. A lot of people are losing their minds, apparently. So we're going to get into it a little bit because it's necessary. We're still here. War has not started. War will not start with North Korea. And those people who insist that every time somebody does something that is, call it a power play, because this is what it was. And I think it was a well-executed power play. But we can't assume war is at hand every time a meeting gets canceled or put off. Before we get to that, though, there is something I did want to cover because it may have gotten lost in all the hubbub. It may have gotten lost in all the news cycles, and it's very important, especially when it comes to Christians, to Christendom, to the church, and the positive impact that certain legislative decisions are having, not on the church itself per se, but on the mandate of the church to defend the defenseless, to protect those who cannot protect themselves. There was a big outcry, of course, there always is, but the Trump administration has moved forward on defunding Planned Parenthood. I'm going to say that again because I relish it. It is as a sweet nectar to my lips. The Trump administration moved forward on defunding Planned Parenthood. Now, for those of you that kept going on and on about why hasn't this happened yet 3 days into the presidency, allow me to offer you Pima cotton towelettes to wipe the egg off your face, because I got emails. How can you say that this administration is pro-life when they haven't done anything? Well, patience is the virtue of the wise. That's why I said nothing, but we have to wait and see. And here we are, having waited, we are seeing. So, we are finally moving forward. On defunding Planned Parenthood. What this means is that your tax dollars, federal tax dollars, will no longer be earmarked or going to the mass slaughter and murder of innocent babies. I don't care who you are or how much you hate the orange-haired man, that is a net positive in my book. There's an article I pulled up because I wanted to talk about this a little bit. Because you see, checking out is not an option. Shrugging our shoulders and going, what will be, is not an option. Because the fact that the church mobilized had a direct effect on the well-being, or at least the hindering of the murder of innocent babies. The article begins with, he said he would, so now he is. Indeed. President Trump and his administration are moving forward with cutting off taxpayer funds to Planned Parenthood, which performs hundreds of thousands of abortions each year. That is self-explanatory, isn't it? You don't need the magic eight ball, and you don't need to think deep thoughts as to what this means. Cutting off funding for abortion to Planned Parenthood means that at least some of these hundreds of thousands of children will be saved. Think on that. Relish it. Take it as the wind that it is. Now, the article continues, and it says, this week, the Department of Health and Human Services issued a new regulation that will cut off $50 million in taxpayer money to the organization. Although, Planned Parenthood will still haul in nearly $500 million. That needs to go away as well. I'm waiting. But I'm a patient man, and I know things can't change overnight. Because if it had happened overnight, then those that are blinded by hate, even within the church, would have said, see, he's a dictator. He just did it all by himself. He's a dictator. So there are certain cases where you just can't win. Either way you cut it, you still cut it. But this was done lawfully. Now, the regulation actually clarifies a rule long in place. Section 1008 of the Act contains the following prohibition, which has not been altered since it was enacted in 1970. None of the funds appropriated under this title shall be used in programs where abortion is a method of family planning, said the rule. Now, the fact that the rule has been disregarded for these many years ought to be concerning, because this is not the only rule that's being disregarded by those in power. This is not the only rule being disregarded by the ruling class. There are many rules being disregarded. There are many laws being broken. And apparently the only ones that are being held to account for every iota of every letter of the law is the taxpaying citizen. Because the ruling class can do anything and seemingly get away with it, at least thus far. Now, I'm sure by now you've heard of the debacle that has been nicknamed Spygate, wherein federal monies and federal resources were used to spy on the then presidential campaign of one Donald J. Trump. They really didn't want this guy to win. And once you understand that they had a mole, a spy, within the campaign since 2016, you can also infer certain things. The fact that the entire Russia things is a hoax. Because someone that close to the campaign, someone who was there embedded as a spy, would have had dirt if dirt were to be had. So to all of those hoping for impeachment for Russian collusion, there was none. The only people that seemingly colluded with the Russians was the Democratic Party, but that's a different story for a different time. As of now, this thing is just getting started. I think before it's over, it's going to get very ugly. Because when people are in power for so long, they begin to think themselves untouchable. When people are in power for so long, they begin to think that they can break the law, they can flaunt the law, they can do whatever they wish, and they'll get away with it. And oddly enough, they would have. They didn't dream that the guy who used to host The Apprentice had a chance of becoming president. It was a joke to them until it wasn't. And when it was no longer a joke for them, it was already too late. Now, this rule has been in place since 1970. And yet, it took this administration to finally come around to saying, hey, this rule says that no funds would appropriated under this title should be used in programs where abortion is a method of family planning. That's sort of an ironic twist on it, isn't it? Family planning, including abortion. That's not family planning. You're not planning a family when you're killing your baby. Let's just be honest about that. Now, the conference report described the intent of this provision as follows. It is and has been the intent of both houses that funds authorized under this legislation be used only to support preventive family planning services, population research, infertility services, and other related medical information, and educational activities. But why go through all that when you can just kill them and sell the body parts? Why go through all that when it's a woman's right to choose what she does with her own body? Remember the debate between Hillary, the Rodham Clinton, and Donald Trump where they talked about abortion? And that was the only thing she could repeat over and over again. It's a woman's right to choose what she does with her own body. As an old Jewish lady once said, why not choose not to be such a whore? Huh? Why not choose not to sell yourself as though you were past your expiration date and you were trying to clearance out any dignity you might have left up in a cupboard? Why jump straight to murder? They're fighting for this so hard. And they're trying to make Planned Parenthood out to be something that it isn't. Planned Parenthood, the only functionality it has, the only function it has, is that it is a murder mill. It provides abortions. Now, it's not coincidence that most Planned Parenthood offices are in impoverished, predominantly black neighborhoods. Because if you do your research, and I don't know who this is for, but yay, yay, hoorah, rah, feminism, yeah, yeah, yeah. Just chew on this one for a second. The woman that started Planned Parenthood, one, as they would call it, sainted Margaret Sanger, real nasty, evil creation, that woman. Her big push was to minimize or otherwise exterminate the black population. If you read her thoughts on eugenics, kind of frightening, kids. But this is who the left praises and who the left raises up to glory's high, who Hillary Rodham Clinton called one of her heroes. Certain things should be thought about before we cling to them so hard that we're unwilling to let go. One of those things is that the Democratic Party is somehow pro-black or pro-African-American. Nothing could be further from the truth. Now, let's continue with this, because I quite thoroughly enjoy the fact that Planned Parenthood is getting less money. As I said, my dream and my hope and my prayer is that they get no money at all. Because I don't want to hear about numbers in the hundreds of thousands when referencing babies and dead babies, aborted babies. That's frightening to me. That we can have these conversations without our blood boiling anymore. That we can have these conversations about hundreds of thousands of babies per year without weeping anymore. That we can try to split hairs about which candidate would have been better for the nation as far as the paradigm of the church is concerned, when they chose to defund the abortion apparatus of Planned Parenthood. The conference report described the intent of this provision as follows, and we went through it. It's about education, information, family planning services, infertility services, and by no means abortion. The conferees have adopted the language contained in Section 1008, which prohibits the use of such funds for abortion in order to make clear this intent. Now, the new rule would also bar lobbying for political purposes by the nation's largest abortion provider. The group spends tens of millions of dollars each year backing liberal candidates. Open your ears. Planned Parenthood spends tens of millions of dollars each year liberal candidates. Why liberal candidates? Because, like their ghoul-in-chief Hillary Rodham Clinton, they're okay with post-birth abortion. Hey, keep the kid away. If you don't like it, just put a pillow over its face. If you don't think it's smart enough or you don't like the color of its eyes after it's born, you should have a window where you can kill it. The lengths to which these people go. And yet we're unwilling to raise a hand to resist them. Not only that, we mock and belittle those who would resist them and those who would do some small thing in order to stand in the way of their agenda. Now, Trump touted his pro-life bona fides during a gala hosted by the Susan B. Anthony List last week. For the first time since Roe v. Wade, America has a pro-life president, a pro-life vice president, a pro-life House, and 25 pro-life state capitals, Trump said in his speech. I've kept my promise to stand for life. When I ran for office, I pledged to stand for life. That's exactly what I've done. And of course, the chorus of haters, boo, you didn't do enough. Well, what'd you do? He didn't do enough. He could have donated his hair to make wigs for babies with leukemia. But what did you do? Other than sit at home and pick at your navel and judge everyone else who's trying to do something. That is the question. Trump continued his speech, calling it historic. He calls a lot of things historic. Fun guy. For decades, American taxpayers have been wrongfully forced to subsidize the abortion industry through Title X federal funding. I agree with this completely. Yes, the American taxpayers have been wrongfully forced to subsidize abortion. If the other side had won, not only would we still be forced to subsidize abortion, we would likely have gone into the land of gender reassignment surgery being financed by your tax dollars. Because, hey, if today you feel like a woman, someone should pay for the surgery. Trump, today we have kept another promise, Trump said. My administration has proposed a new rule to prohibit Title X funding from going to any clinic that performs abortions. Planned Parenthood is suing the federal government over the rule. Of course they are. They're ghouls. This is the worst attack on women's health and rights we've seen from the Trump-Pence administration. Planned Parenthood Executive Vice President Don LeGaines said in a statement. Anything that ruffles the feathers of Planned Parenthood is a good thing to me. They took it to federal court because they need your tax dollars to make abortion cheaper. so that more women don't think twice about, well, abstinence, about waiting until they're married and they're ready to start a family. Why burden women with the hardship of saying no to sexual advances when they can just go to a Planned Parenthood clinic and murder the baby growing inside them? Yes, indeed. The worst attack on women's health and rights from the Trump-Pence administration. Hopefully there's more to come. Hopefully they will continue to whittle away at the funding of Planned Parenthood, because they're not helping plan any families. They're not helping plan for parents. They're just ghouls who sell body parts for profit and make the murder of innocent babies as streamlined and easily accessible as possible. Never once taking into account that it stays with the mother for long and long. It wrecks them emotionally, some of them. But that doesn't matter. We got our two pens. We got a whole head and two arms out of this one. So who cares that the mother's emotionally destroyed? Who cares that she wakes up screaming in the middle of the night? Who cares that if one person among the ghoulish faces who rushed them into the surgery room would have said, hey, you know, adoption's an option, maybe she would have walked out of the clinic? Who knows, maybe if one of the ghouls prepping her to extinguish the life growing inside her would have let her listen to the heartbeat of the life in her belly, there would have been that epiphany. There would have been that eureka moment where she realized what she was about to do and simply walk out. So yes, small beginnings, but at least they didn't double the funding of Planned Parenthood as the other administration likely would have done. No, I do not want my tax dollars funding murder mills. I do not want my tax dollars going to places that actively encourage young women to extinguish the life growing inside them. Call me old-fashioned. So that was the news that I wanted to cover from the get-go. Just to sort of set the table, if you will. The big news of the day, as I'm sure most of you have heard, is that the meeting between Kim Jong-un and President Donald Trump has been canceled. Now, everyone's apoplectic about it. They don't know what to make of it. I do believe that it was one of the most savage alpha male moves I've seen in my lifetime. And I guarantee you that it will pay off in dividends. Look, this solidifies the positionality of these talks. And these talks will happen. Look, North Koreans don't have any other options. Today, Donald Trump laid out the carrot and he laid out the stick. The stick is scary. It's got thorns. As insane as Pudgy Pete might be, I don't think he's suicidal. He has not yet converted to Islam. So this is the letter that the White House via, well, Donald Trump via the White House wrote to His Excellency Kim Jong-un, Chairman of the State Affairs Commission of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, Pyongyang. Now, it begins and it says, "Dear Mr. Chairman, we greatly appreciate your time, patience, and effort with respect to our recent negotiations and discussions relative to a summit long sought by both parties, which was scheduled to take place on June 12th in Singapore. We were informed that the meeting was requested by North Korea, but that to us is totally irrelevant. I was very much looking forward to being there with you. Sadly, based on the tremendous anger and open hostility displayed in your most recent statement, I feel it is inappropriate at this time to have this long-planned meeting." Now, what is this tremendous anger and hostility that he's referring to? Because, see, without context, people are thinking that Donald Trump lost his mind, that he doesn't know what he wants, so he just backed out at the last minute. No, one of Kim Jong-un's most trusted confidants called Mike Pence crazy and someone else insane. Now, I'm guessing that he didn't have permission to say that. I'm guessing that his zeal got the better of him. And I don't want to see it happening, but I'm within the next week, I'm thinking we're probably going to hear of a public execution of this gentleman. See, the reason that Trump canceled the meeting was because the North Koreans were pushing the envelope as they always do. They did it with Clinton. They did it with Bush. They did it with Obama just endlessly. And all these guys went along. All these former presidents went along with being pushed. This one said nay, nay. Like I said, I think this was a boss move. This was an alpha move. And I do believe that the North Koreans will come back to the table, and this time with their tail between their legs. They don't have a choice. The Chinese have made it clear that they're not going to have their back. And I don't think they have a choice but to come to the bargaining table. But let's continue reading this letter, because it was good. It was actually, I know that he didn't type it out himself, but it was still a well-crafted letter, I must admit. I write for a living sometimes, and I know a well-crafted letter when I see it. So the letter continues and says, "Sadly, based on the tremendous anger and open hostility displayed in your most recent statement, I feel it is inappropriate at this time to have this long-planned meeting. Therefore, please let this letter serve to represent that the Singapore summit, for the good of both parties, but to the detriment of the world, will not take place. You talk about your nuclear capabilities, but ours are so massive and powerful that I pray to God they will never have to be used. Here comes the stick. It's big and thorny." And he just reminded Little Powderpuff that you don't want to tussle. You don't. Sometimes you just have to shut up and take it. Sometimes you have to swallow your pride and admit that you are bested. You talk about your nuclear capabilities, but ours are so massive and powerful that I pray to God they will never have to be used. I felt a wonderful dialogue was building up between you and me. And ultimately, it is only that dialogue that matters. Someday, I look very much forward to meeting you. In the meantime, I want to thank you for the release of the hostages who are now home with their families. That was a beautiful gesture and was very much appreciated. If you change your mind having to do with this most important summit, please do not hesitate to call me or write. Oh, this is just a boss move, man. The world and North Korea in particular has lost a great opportunity for lasting peace and great prosperity and wealth. This missed opportunity is truly a sad moment in history. I don't want to say I guarantee it, but given everything I understand of human nature, the North Koreans will come back to the table. And it won't be on their terms. Because that's what Donald Trump is trying to avoid, coming to the table with North Korea on North Korea's terms. Now, later in the day, after this letter went public, and I guess Mike Pompeo read it, and by the way, as an aside, why the big hate for Mike Pompeo from the Christian circles? The guy's a pro-life Christian. He took heat when he had his confirmation hearing about the fact that he's not a big fan of homosexual marriage. Look, I understand that no one can live up to your perfect standard, some of you. I understand that you would likely find fault in every one of Christ's apostles. And even, you know, Jesus, but you'd keep it to yourself because he was Jesus. Look, these men are not your pastors. Flawed, definitely. Better than the alternative any day of the week. Now, in his follow-up, Donald Trump explained his decision to cancel the scheduled meeting with Kim Jong-un on Thursday, which was today. And this is what he said, and he again, absolutely right. Nobody should be anxious. We ought to get it right. Agreed. The president made his remarks to reporters during the signing ceremony of a Dodd-Frank reform bill at the White House on Thursday afternoon. He called it a tremendous setback for North Korea and for the world. He said that he would continue to be open to the idea of a summit, even one on June 12th, only if the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula was on the table. This was the key issue. They wanted to meet, get something for nothing, and still not denuclearize. And at this juncture, Trump was smart enough not to kick the can down the road, not to have a Pyrrhic victory, not to do it just for the optics. And they will come to the table. And when they come to the table, the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula will be on the table. What they'll get for it, I don't know. I guarantee you some sort of promissory note has to be made to Pudgy Pete that, you know, nobody's going to be doing to him what they did to Gaddafi. But I don't know if it'll be much more. Now, Trump continues and he says, if and when Kim Jong-un chooses to engage in constructive dialogue and actions, I am waiting. Trump said bluntly, adding that the economic sanctions against North Korea would stay in place as well as the campaign as maximum pressure. He said that the United States military was prepared to defend allies in the region like Japan and South Korea, and that they were willing to shoulder the financial burden. Now, some people took this to mean that we're going to war. We're not going to war. He was just reminding Pudgy Pete and his fellow travelers that we didn't walk away completely. We didn't disavow ourselves of our allies. We didn't do as Obama did and just throw our hands up in the air and go, we're done here. We're willing to defend our allies, as we should, because they're allies. And, you know, he made it a point to say they'll pay for their defense, so it won't be out of pocket for us. Does this mean we're going to war? No, it doesn't. Like I said, I will repeat myself, because when it comes to pass, you'll see that getting apoplectic over every little thing really is not conducive to your mental well-being. The Koreans will come back to the table. They have to. And when they do, denuclearization will be on the table. I hope that Kim Jong-un will ultimately do what is right, Trump said, saying that the North Korean people deserved peace. The bright and beautiful future can only happen when the threat of nuclear weapons is removed. Now, in the letter to Kim, Trump said that the hostile statements from the regime made it impossible to have the meeting. And that's what happened today. We didn't declare war. We didn't send out bombers. And I'm thinking there's more going on behind the scenes than they're letting on. Because what I've read of Mike Pompeo, he's not one to blurt things out willy-nilly. And there was something very telling that went on. There was a hearing today. And during this hearing, Mike Pompeo clashed with Senator Robert Menendez of New Jersey. Slimy fellow. He is, however, the top Democrat on the panel over the lawmaker's suggestion that President rushed into agreeing to meet with North Korean dictator without preparing. Pompeo told a Democrat lawmaker, "I think the American team is fully prepared. I think we're rocking. I think we're ready. I think we're prepared for this meeting. I think President Trump is prepared for this meeting. We were fully engaged over the weeks to prepare for this meeting. So I disagree with your assessment that the Americans are not ready." Menendez interrupted Pompeo in an attempt to walk back his comments about the United States being ill-prepared, saying, "When I said not ready, I'm talking about, you know, we needed to test all of the propositions and lay out all the elements of what was ultimately to be decided in a way to find out whether North Koreans were really telling the truth." And, of course, Mike Pompeo comes back and just slaps Menendez across the mouth, as he ought. Yes, sir, that's been done three times before in American history, and Kim Jong-un today possesses the most robust nuclear program he has ever had. And, of course, Menendez, being a child, shot back, "Yes." And as a result of him calling the summit, canceling the summit, he still possesses them. Look, it was a boss move. I think we're going to see the fruit of it. I wouldn't be surprised if they announced the meeting's back on. But that's just me. I'm not one who sees World War III around every corner. I think when it comes, it will be clear and present, and the threat will come from the right place. Because right now, the threat is not coming from any nation that can credibly do us harm. Do you understand this? The only two that we are potentially going to tussle with are the Iranians and the North Koreans. I think the North Koreans are not suicidal. They're going to come to the table. They're going to negotiate something. The Iranians and the Syrians, it all depends how much bloody business the Russians want to do. If they're ready to stomach bloody business, then we might have issues with Iran and Syria. If they're not ready to stomach war, then I think the situation will continue to be an issue, but not an issue so dangerous as to require us to, you know, carpet bomb the nation or anything like that. Now, for those of you that are pork eaters, I have some bad news. And I came across this article while eating a bacon-wrapped sausage, so you can imagine my heartfelt angst when I read it. Thankfully, I don't drink alcohol, so maybe, you know, you need to have all three in order for this to happen, but two out of three. So, yeah, I was eating a bacon-wrapped sausage when I read this. The new health guidelines say no amount. Underline, underscore, big letters, no amount of alcohol, bacon, or sausage is safe. So there you go. If you were planning on grilling this Memorial Day, if you had your brats all picked out and your bacon sizzling to crispy, I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but a new set of health guidelines released by the World Cancer Research Fund says that people can reduce their risk of cancer by about 40% by completely eliminating alcohol, bacon, sausage, fatty meats, and beer from their diet. Now, this is me adding it, so don't get excited, but this study was sponsored by the chicken industry. An egg a day keeps the doctor away. Well, weren't these the same people that said eggs were going to kill you, and now eggs are magic? Now bacon and sausage and any fatty meat. So any meat that tastes good is going to kill you, or give you cancer at least. The recommendations are part of a 10-point plan that the WCRF says can help nearly halve your chances of getting cancer, though their guidelines may put a significant dent in your quality of life. You may live to 80, but you'll be miserable every day of it. Dangerous meats include any rare or raw red meat. Well, there you go. Pork, beef, lamb, specifically. Hamburgers and hot dogs. So there goes the diet of 85% of the working American man. So, yes, duck confit for everyone, kids. Duck and chicken, that's it. That's your mainstay now. If you want to reduce your chance of getting cancer by 40%. Never mind that Fukushima radiation is giving fish seven eyes, and you're probably ingesting some of that with your tuna. Stay away from the sausage and the hot dogs. Being obese, they report, raises your chances of getting cancer significantly. Well, there I go. I eat sausage and bacon and am considered somewhat on the husky side. And the easiest way to avoid obesity is to eat healthy foods. If only it was that easy, there would be no obese people. This is just depressing. I'm not going to read the rest of this. Why would you want to get depressed? It's Memorial Day. Speaking of Memorial Day, let's talk a little. Because we're living in a time where the present generation no longer appreciates, values, or otherwise count as precious the sacrifices made on their behalf by past generations. Look, those of you who know me know I wasn't even born in this country. I was born in Romania, but I came here and I studied your history. And so I understand how many people fought and died for freedom. And to them, it wasn't an abstract thing that they were willing to let go of for free college tuition or free health care. for them, freedom was so true and real and priceless that in order to offer it as a gift to their children and their children's children, these men went off to war and died in foreign lands. Still to this day, men go to war. And they go to defend freedom. And there's families who generationally have had brothers and sisters and grandfathers and fathers sign up and go off to defend this country. And the lucky ones came back missing a finger or with a bullet wound or with screaming nightmares in the middle of the night. Those were the lucky ones. Others were never found. Their bodies so disintegrated by shells and explosives and gunfire and whatnot. Look, if you live in this country, you have to respect the undeniable reality that blood was shed to keep this country free. Men died to offer you freedom. And it's astounding to me that looking back at all those before us, stood on the front lines of battle and stared down evil itself, we're so reticent to do absolutely anything at all in order to protect freedom for the next generation. I've got two daughters. I would love to be able to see them grow in a free nation. I don't know if I'm going to get that chance. I was at the office today, and some friends came over, and they were having lunch. And we started talking about the political landscape of this nation. And I said, if we have it, if somehow it happens, we have one more election cycle that may go our way, one more presidential run where decency may win out. But after that 4-year span, all of these heads full of mush that are being indoctrinated and propagandized in high schools and elementary schools are going to be a voting age. And when that happens, you can kiss the Constitutional Republic goodbye. You can kiss freedom goodbye. Because as long as there's someone willing to offer the masses something they didn't work for free, then this up-and-coming generation will likely embrace them and vote for them without an iota of concern as to what that free thing may actually cost them in the long run. Appreciate the time that you have. Because it's a fleeting thing. Appreciate the small victories that you see here and there. Things that we would not otherwise see had things gone differently. Teach your children the value of freedom. and teach them to look back to those who came before them and learn of the sacrifices that they made. And respect that. Look, when is it? Monday is Memorial Day. Or this weekend is Memorial Day weekend. It's a solemn thing to me. And I can only imagine how solemn a thing it is to those who lost loved ones and family members. Because I didn't lose anyone in war. Yet I have a deep and abiding respect for those who stood up to defend freedom. That's why I start conversations with anyone that's wearing a veteran hat. Anytime they're out there asking for change, man, I scrounge my pockets and I give them every last bit of change that I have. Because they didn't go to war and risk their lives for adulation and fame. They didn't go to war and risk their lives because they thought they'd get a TV show out of it. They did it because it was the right thing to do. And because freedom is worth defending. And that tells me a lot about the character of the generations that came before us. And sadly, it also tells me a lot about the lack of character in this present generation. Because when you belittle the notion of freedom, when you openly mock those who fight to keep you free, then not only is your character lacking, it's absent. And you know what? I think there are certain segments of the population that are realizing the truth of this. And what even the NFL today is trying to walk back the whole kneeling thing, but I think it's a little too late. Because masses and masses of men who work hard and have calloused hands and wake up with weary bones, who were taught from father to son to appreciate and value freedom, watched as multimillionaires took a knee to protest something or other, and it just rubbed them the wrong way so bad that no matter what they do from this point forward, they're never going back. And that's a good thing. So, this Memorial Day weekend, if you know a veteran or know of a veteran, spend some time with them. Make it your exclusive mission to tell someone who was at one point in the armed forces about Jesus. And let them share their life story and let them share their experiences with you. Because it's only when you speak to someone who's truly gone through hardship that we realize how easy we have it nowadays. See, we don't know what hardship is, but we will. Because in not knowing what hardship is, we are willing to squander and otherwise do away with the freedom that had very much to do with the fact that we're not suffering as much of the world is. I, for one, will teach my daughters the value of being free. And I think I'll be successful at it because I lived in a country that wasn't. And I don't ever want to live in such a country again. Anyway, didn't mean to get nostalgic on you. But these are just some thoughts rattling through my mind. So if you're preparing for the North Koreans to lob missiles, it's okay. Go barbecue. They won't. I think we're a ways off yet from war. But it doesn't mean that war isn't coming. Anyway, God bless you. God keep you. Enjoy the weekend if you happen to be in a place that's warm. And if not, then, enjoy the weekend anyway. God bless, Gino. It's all yours.
Thank you, Michael. And I do agree with Michael that we better thank God for this reprieve, this time that we have. We don't know how long it will last. And the Bible says redeem the time. And just a couple prayer requests, if you can. Pray for us as we continue to work to see three adult clubs shut down in our area. It's getting closer, hopefully, that one owner of two clubs is hopefully going to relent and give up those establishments. We put together a Christian coalition of leadership in the area. We had a meeting a week ago that I'd asked people to pray about, when 150 people showed up, along with our state senator, Scott Fitzgerald, in Clyman, Wisconsin. There was a tremendous rally and cry that night for people to unite and work together to see whatever can be done to shut these clubs down in Dodge County, Wisconsin. I got to speak at the meeting along with several leaders in the area. And now we're going to have a meeting in Watertown at the end of June. We want to bring in our lieutenant governor and, again, Senator Fitzgerald and other leaders. And we want to, again, stand up for faith and family, sons and daughters, decency and morality. So we have picked a day of prayer. And if you could just make a note of this, we are going to take Wednesday, June 13th, and call it a day of prayer. For God to work and shut these three strip clubs down in Dodge County, Wisconsin, which is 20 miles from my house. So please let your church know, your leadership, those around you. Wednesday, June 13th, we're going to pray. Many churches in our area are joining in a day of prayer. And then at the end of June, we're going to have another meeting in Watertown, my hometown, with several of our top government leaders in Wisconsin, to unite together to see these three clubs, two of which have been involved in a federal indictment on human sex trafficking. And so we want to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, be vocally standing against evil and standing for what's right in front of our Lord. And like Jehoshaphat said, the battle belongs to the Lord. The prophet of God, when he was surrounded by the enemy, told his servant, there's more with us than with them. So praise the Lord. Thank you so much for listening to the Light of Truth broadcast tonight with Michael Boldea.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Boldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.